The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the second chapter. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after their marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of the Lord was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you in the name of God, our Creator, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, in our worship life together, we are recognizing a church festival called Presentation of Our Lord. And you might be like me when I read the scriptures for today. I was a little bit like, whoa, wait a second. I finally took down the Christmas tree, and now we're reading about Jesus as a baby again. Well, let me explain. We typically only mark this special day if it falls on a Sunday. And there are other traditions where this day is called Candlemas, if that is familiar to anybody. But what happens in the gospel is that Mary and Joseph are keeping with their religious tradition. They are keeping a special custom and ritual in their life. And the custom is that 40 days after a baby boy is born, the parents are supposed to go and present the baby to the temple. And this special ritual is just as much for the mother as the baby. It is sort of an opportunity for her to be cleansed and returned to society and religious life as well after having a baby. So, what is 40 days after December 25th? It's February 2nd, today. So, that is why we are looking at this story today. And you might be wondering, like I was when I was getting ready for this weekend, like, why did the church feel like we needed to preserve this festival, this sort of ritual that none of us really can relate to? But I think, at least when I'm reading this passage this weekend, recognizing our rituals and our religious, spiritual practices is exactly what this text invites us into. You could perhaps argue... Okay, so that's Valerie's microphone downstairs, but okay. Okay, yes, so we're marking our religious practices, and you could argue, though, when you read this story, like, why did Joseph and Mary think they needed to keep doing that, right? Here you have baby Jesus, the Lord, being presented to the Lord, right? It kind of seems odd, but they find importance in the rhythm of life and keeping the ritual. Then you have Mary. She is the mother of Jesus. In some Christian traditions, she is seen as pure and sinless perpetually. That's not exactly how we Lutherans view her, but that's another sermon for another day. But in any case, she keeps this ritual anyway. And then you have Simeon and Anna, who are incredibly devout people. Anna is in the temple fasting and praying every day. And Simeon is righteous, and he's keenly aware of what the Holy Spirit is up to in his life. It's the Spirit that rests on him and says, "Today we're going to the temple, Simeon." And so then, because of their devotion, they are able to recognize that Jesus is the Messiah. There could have been any number of babies that came to the temple that day, but they were able to recognize Christ is in our midst. This baby, this child is our Savior. The biblical scholar R. Allen Culpepper suggests that it's not because Simeon, and I would add Anna, just happened to live at the right moment in history that they got to see the Messiah. He argues that it was because of their dedication and their devotion and their discipline of keeping religious rituals that they are able to recognize Christ among them and see what God is doing right in front of them. So this passage invites us to think about how are we using religious rituals to help us tune in to where God is at work in the world and how we can be a part of it. Think of it like a pair of binoculars. This word I trip up on when I talk about it, so I'm just gonna call binoculars binos, okay? Yes? Anyone a good, proper adventurer that when you're going on your trip, you ask your husband, "Did you pack the binos?" It's a normal phrase. Anyways, so, but if you, do we have anyone who likes birding or likes looking out? No one wants to admit that. Okay, but if we used to live on the Rock River, and so there was a great blue heron that lived in our little stretch of the river, and there were bald eagles, and we also were on the migration path for pelicans. And so we were often taking out the binos and looking at the horizon. And so when you bring a pair of binoculars to your face, you have to typically focus them, right? They're blurry and you can adjust them to your vision. And so then Jacob and I could share the same pair and we just adjust it to our sight. And it's, I think, our religious practices, prayer, daily devotion, reading the Psalms, it helps us so that when you pick up your binos during the day, you can more quickly focus in on what God is doing in your life or in the world. And then you are more attuned to how you can do the next right thing and participate with it. Do you kind of get what I'm saying? So if every morning you open the day with, instead of hitting the alarm clock with, a frustrated groan, instead, if every morning we start with, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." You're already more open to how God might bring joy to you, might bring moments of grace to you, and then you are more apt to share that love and grace with all the world. Yeah? So our rituals, our spiritual practices help us in our everyday, and they can also help us in times of big sort of chaos. So allow me to tell you a story about a sort of crisis situation that I found myself in. Well, really, I made this problem for myself. So I worked at Lutheran summer camps all through college, and we had a really special senior high camp full of high adventure and Bible study, and it was a great time, and that's where I met my husband leading these trips. And so we had a ton of fun. And so the first summer I worked at Waypost, we had a trip where we would canoe like all day long, and then the next day you would hike out like something ridiculous, like 13 miles. You would go hike out to this campsite, and then the next morning the camp staff drove us bicycles to bike back to camp. And this morning that we woke up, it was misty and rainy and already miserable, and I couldn't get the fire going well enough for a warm breakfast. So the kids were already hungry and annoyed, and we were super behind. We had to get back to camp during this day. We only had so much daylight. We were behind. So I thought, it's fine, I will just push this pace and we will get back to camp. And I was looking at the radar and making sure we were doing okay to be biking in the rain. And we were fine, but there was a big line of red coming. But I thought, we'll be fine. We'll make it. That was not the case. So instead, my ambition, I needed to focus on the schedule so much that I wasn't concerned about our safety. I let us into a thunderstorm, like raining cats and dogs, just absolute downpour, lightning. It was terrifying. And you could barely see, 50 feet in front of you. So we're on a rural road in Wisconsin, and I'm so like embarrassed and feeling so horrible about what I have done and put these kids in danger that I can't even think straight. And so the campers and the other staffers are like, we gotta get shelter. So we get into a low ditch and we, get the bikes there, and we all kind of huddle to try to figure out what we're supposed to do. And one of my campers, a high schooler, 17 years old, her name's Melissa, she said, we need to pray. And I was like, we don't have time. Right? Like, we have to figure out what we're supposed to do here. And I was so caught up in my own head that I didn't even have, time for that. But she said, no, it's fine. So Melissa, my camper, prayed for us, and not even a moment after she said amen, a car came by and was like, what are you doing? And they said, our house is the next one. We're gonna open the garage, get inside. And so I share this story, not because it's an illustration that God will answer your prayer immediately, but that the prayer that we did together, it helped me get out of my own stuff, right? I was able to even recognize there were headlights, there were taillights, there was someone there that was gonna take care of us. God was with us that whole time, and we were gonna be okay. So, my friends, what are your religious rituals that keep you sustained and able to see God in your midst? Maybe it is daily prayer. Maybe it is weekly things that you do here at St. Philip the Deacon. If you're not sure where to begin, the pastors, our staff, we're happy to help. And a fun, new, and exciting thing in our faith life together is that Amanda Berger just published a book on daily rituals and prayer. And so you can certainly check that out to help your faith life too. It doesn't have to be elaborate. It doesn't have to be, incredibly disciplined. I'm going to read through the Bible in 50 days. It just needs to be something to help you remember that God is with you each and every day. And then you are more ready to do the next right thing. So I'm going to teach you one more little prayer to help with our faith life. When Jacob and I were first married, we would have the tradition of you know, say grace, eat, do the dishes, and then we would have dessert. And there was one time, I don't know what it was, maybe an anniversary cake or something, and Jacob, we were so thrilled with this decadent dessert that he was like, I think we should pray again. And so sometimes we'll pray and we don't even remember that we prayed, and then that's bad. So it's just a little bit of a reminder of there's, you know, even dessert time, even after we've prayed already, we're going to do it again. And so here is something you can do with your family. So repeat after me. After me. Thank you, God, who is so neat. Thank you, God, who is so neat, for giving us something sweet to eat. For giving us something sweet to eat. Thank you, God, who is so neat, for giving us something sweet to eat. It's just a simple thing, that there is goodness, there is sweetness in this life, and God is with us. And so when we are not sure what to do next, it can help ground us to do the next right thing and to follow how the Holy Spirit is calling us in this life to serve God and our neighbor. So may we use our spiritual practices, our Jesus binoculars, and see what God is up to in our life and how we can love one another. Amen.